Good morning. Please be seated. State versus Howard is the first matter. Parties ready?
Yes. Good morning. My name is Travis Stearns. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Howard. I'd like 3 minutes for rebuttal.
3 minutes, very well.
So I'm going to start with the double jeopardy issue, unless the court wants to direct me otherwise. It seems to be a good question and a good place to begin. And I want to begin by recognizing what State v. Freeman says, because State v. Freeman really does, I think, enlighten us on the path to take with regard to this case and regard to any case involving assault and robbery. Freeman starts with the obvious, holding that at least in some circumstances, robbery and assault, these two charges do not violate double jeopardy, and at least in some circumstances they should.
First degree robbery,
that's right.
First degree assault. That's
right.
Clearly the holding of the case.
Well, it does say at least in some circumstances, and you can see that on. However, there was an important piece of evidence that recent legislatures intended to punish first degree assault and first degree robbery separately, at least under some circumstances. And I think that you can't ignore that, nor can you ignore the fact that they do this analysis. They do the entire analysis for first degree robbery and first degree assault. They don't stop at that point in that in their case. They do go through the analysis. And in Freeman, it is clear that he does not meet the separate purpose test. And so I think that what they did there and what the parties proposed below, both the prosecutor and the defense attorney proposed, was to eliminate count two and to only sentence someone on the more serious charge is the appropriate remedy in this case. And I think that if you step through the analysis in this case the same way that they do in Freeman and also in Francis, and I recognize Francis is an assault two case and not an assault one case, but the same sort of analysis is done there in 2010. So I think that it is still the analysis that this court should take.
So you're basically you're saying that the court should go on and look at the independent purpose and that can overcome the holding of Freeman.
Well, I don't think that Freeman holds that in
but,
every
I mean,
circumstance.
But, I mean, you, I guess you would say that if the Freeman court had found an independent purpose, they would have come to a different result.
Well, they do find an independent purpose in Freeman, and that's why they come to the result that they do. They find
or a lack of independent purpose, I guess, is what you're arguing for then. You're arguing for the absence of the element.
I think that if they had not gone through that test and if they had found that Freeman met each one of those tests, Freeman might have come out differently.
So this is a new, really, it would be a new piece of law. It would be a new holding for an appellate court.
Again, I don't think so. I think that Freeman says at least in some circumstances.
What I mean, though, is that there isn't any case that has reached the result that you recommend.
I am not aware of a
by that
appellate
route.
Case that has come to this conclusion. I don't know if this is going on in other trial courts and that this court is an aberration with regard to sentencing this way. Certainly the parties below believed that the appropriate thing to do was to dismiss the robbery charge.
And the court rejected that.
And the court rejects that.
We don't go on what the parties do. We go on whether the ruling by the court is correct or not. And the court rejected the double jeopardy analysis clearly, notwithstanding what was deemed a joint motion. So given that we have Freeman and given that Francis really doesn't answer this question, what else do you have?
Well, I think, again, if you go through the analysis, there are no other cases.
Did the trial court go through it? I mean, in other words, was the argument made to the trial court that because there isn't an independent purpose in effect here, that therefore there is a double jeopardy?
The trial court does not go through the four-step analysis.
Was the trial court asked to?
The trial court stops at the first step and says that Freeman.
Was the trial court asked to go beyond the first step?
There is no analysis.
This argument that you're making today made to the trial court?
Nobody says you should go through the four-step analysis, no.
When the four-step analysis, are you referring to the four-step analysis of Froese?
Yeah, the same analysis that you would start with legislative intent. I mean, I know it's a two-step analysis. I shouldn't be calling it a four-step analysis. That you first ask the question of is there legislative intent? So, you know, like the burglary statute would obviously not apply because of the anti-merger, and then you go to the second step.
What I'm trying to get at, though, is that it looks like this is an argument that we're being asked to consider for the first time on appeal. Not only is it the first time that it would be held by an appellate court, but it wasn't even made to the trial court.
Well, again, I don't think that. I do think that the parties had said that the court should find that double jeopardy applies. This is not a new argument in that respect. Obviously, I've done a deeper analysis than was done in the trial court, but I don't think that I'm asking you to.
Well, were the words independent purpose or effect or the case of State v. Froese cited or spoken
no.
in the trial court
no.
by anyone?
No.
All right.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I still think that, again, if you take it through this analysis, you can find the first three tests, or the first two, the block merger and the merger test, I don't think are contested by anyone. So you finally have to go to the third test, which is the separate purpose test, which is why I'm focusing there. But I think with regard to the separate purpose test, this is very much a very different case from the Freeman case with regard to separate purpose. This is a very quick shooting. It doesn't involve sort of that taunting language that Freeman said, you know, the victim in Freeman says, what's going on here? And then Freeman says, you don't think I'm going to shoot you? And then he does. There's clearly gratuitousness there that it isn't here. So I think that when you look at that and you sort of apply that third part of the second test, if you're willing to go there, and I hope that you are, if you're willing to go there, you can see that this is, I hope, the circumstances that Freeman says that at least in some circumstances, this is the test that would separate out, and that you can find here that double jeopardy does apply. I think that the remedy that the parties...
So you would read Freeman as saying that actually what it's holding is that it's not double jeopardy unless you can show that that there was not an independent purpose in effect.
Absolutely. You have to walk through all four of those factors to find it. If you find that there was a separate purpose to the shooting, then you have to find that double jeopardy doesn't apply. That's absolutely what Freeman holds. I think that the remedy that the parties...
But the opposite, does it doesn't say that.
I'm sorry?
Freeman doesn't say the opposite.
It is
double jeopardy if there is not an independent purpose in effect.
No, if it does, if all four of the tests don't apply, obviously, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm out of time.
You've got your 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. But I'm going to reserve those.
Yes.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is David Seaver. I'm here on behalf of the King County Prosecutor asking this court to affirm both Mr. Howard's conviction and his sentence. I guess, Your Honor, just to begin on the double jeopardy issue, it seems that Freeman clearly controls here, both in terms of the legal analysis in Freeman and the facts of the case are essentially, the facts of the two cases are largely the same. Both were robbery attempts that met with immediate resistance, and that resistance was responded to by the victim being shot.
At least when I read it, didn't make clear why the state took the position, at least below, that the trial court ultimately rejected. Can you elaborate based on what's in the record?
As best as I can, Your Honor, I think the prosecutors were not trying to adhere to any legal arguments so much as just asking the trial court on what they called equitable consideration.
Well, that was one thing that they talked about, but they seemed to say that they thought double jeopardy applied. The trial court talked about equity at some point, but the trial court just flat rejected it, saying that it didn't apply here under the appropriate test, and didn't get into what we just heard.
Right. The state's position was essentially the sense I got from it in talking to the trial deputies was that they just wanted him to be sentenced on the first degree assault. So they did not contest the double jeopardy claim, but the trial court recognized that Freeman kind of operated here. The two statutes, the first degree assault and first degree robbery crimes, one proof of one doesn't necessarily prove the other, recognizing that, you know, as opposed to a situation where there's a second degree assault and the first that elevates a second degree robbery to robbery one, here
would it have made a difference in terms of what his sentence would have been?
Had he not been sentenced on count two, the robbery?
Yeah, if the double jeopardy analysis that the parties both, you know, if the court had said, okay, there's double jeopardy.
I don't know. I was just looking at that, Your Honor. I know it added a point to his score on the assault one. The sentences ran concurrently, so it wasn't like he was getting sentenced on consecutively for both of these offenses. So I think the point was that it was going to add to his offender score, being sentenced on two crimes.
That would increase... sentence on the other crime that there's no dispute about, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
But to a great degree, I mean, I guess we're just kind of interested in why the prosecutors were kind of unusually interested in being equitable rather than in getting the maximum possible sentence.
I cannot answer that question. Certainly within the record, and the sense I got was that they just thought...
maybe it was long enough anyway.
I think so. 200 months was what happened. And his standard range was something that ended up with, I believe, a mid-range sentence of 200 months. And I imagine dropping the robbery count would have maybe put him at the, I don't want to speculate, but something like maybe 140 to 160, something like that is all I can figure. So
5 years.
Sure. But again, the trial court recognized that his hands were sort of effectively tied here and that it couldn't just simply set aside convictions based on what the court considered just equitable considerations.
That is an interesting theory. I mean, where did the trial prosecutors come up with it?
I don't know. I really don't. And I wanted to stick with the record and not introduce new evidence in the form of a declaration or anything like that. I just think this was he was a participant in a serious event. He was not the shooter. The fellow who was tried first in a separate trial was. And I guess I've talked to them about not doing this in the future, that they need to have a legal basis for doing so or just change the way they charge a case. But to go through an entire trial and then ask that a conviction be set aside for, quote, equitable considerations isn't a best practice or one we should follow in the future. I think they understand that now. Nevertheless, the trial court's ruling certainly seems to be in comportment with Freeman. The simple fact is that the first-degree assault carries a much longer sentence. That's the difference between a case like this and a case like Francis, where it's an assault two and a rob one. So I think Mr. Stern suggests that Freeman can be read a little bit more broadly than I read it. It's ultimately going to be this court's decision.
I suppose it could be. Well, was there a same criminal conduct finding here? I can't remember.
I don't believe there was, and I'm not entirely sure. There was no argument made to that effect. Defense counsel simply sought to have the robbery conviction set aside on double
jeopardy.
Because
if there had been same criminal conduct, that would have had the same impact on the offender score, would it not?
It could have. There's it's possible to see that this was all the same overarching intent, but in my personal experience, I haven't tended to see same criminal conduct applied to such serious violent offenses where the intents of each crime are on their face so distinct. This wasn't like a car chase that ended up with a hit and run or something like that being involved so much as in one event, you're trying to take someone's property by force. In the other incident, in the other charge, you're trying to inflict great bodily harm, separate from any financial gain or anything like that. I haven't seen those arguments presented as often, but I suppose such an argument could be made. It just wasn't here. With regard to the other issues that Mr. Stearns raised in his brief to this court, I'd be happy to answer any questions the court has. Otherwise, I'll just yield the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have a lot to add, but let me just say that I do think that Mr. Seaver is right about the reduction in the sentence range, that is, and I don't know if it's exactly right, but I think that that's about right. And I can also tell you that there was no argument made below with regard to same criminal conduct, which is why I didn't choose to raise it here, because it wasn't raised. The parties did not move, at least in my reading, that this was for equity reasons, but for double jeopardy reasons. And I completely appreciate that it doesn't matter what the parties said. It matters what the court said. But they did argue below and upon advice of other appellate counsel that the double jeopardy rule should apply. Again, and I just finished briefly by talking about the remedy, because normally I know that the remedy would be to eliminate the non-assault charge because it's the element of the robbery charge. But I do think that eliminating the robbery would have been the right thing to do. It's clearly a lower sentence range. It clearly would be unjust to eliminate the assault under those circumstances. And our Supreme Court, in a number of cases involving culpability, and I apologize for not citing these. I didn't really think about it until yesterday, but Houston's Goniers, which came out very recently, Maynard, which came out a couple of years ago, have, when there's culpability questions on constitutional issues, found that sentences outside the standard range are appropriate. And I think that there is some good call for doing something like that here. And, of course, I don't have any case law to say that you should apply that to the double jeopardy rule. But I do think that you have the ability to do that. And I think that, it does make sense with regard to these facts, if you're going to read Freeman in its entirety, that it, at least in some circumstances, the legislature did not intend to punish these separately, that these are the circumstances, because I do believe that it meets all of the other tests.
What, so, what is the idea from Sconiers that you think should be?
Well, in Sconiers, which is a Houston Sconiers, which is obviously a juvenile culpability case, but the court has found in many of these cases that when there's a constitutional issue, a constitutional right at issue, and that's an Eighth Amendment issue, but the culpability question and the culpability question here can be looked at, I think, in a similar way, that where culpability is at issue at a constitutional right like it is here, that you could certainly consider sentencing outside of the standard range.
And you're saying,
don't you think we should see some briefing on that before we would
do
that?
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think that I completely agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish that I had thought of that earlier. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel.